The Lord be with you. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service today, and also to say a very special welcome to those who will be joining us on the live stream, and a warm word of welcome also to those who will be joining us later in the day via our telephone service. And as we gather together today, we're going to be thinking in our service about the presence of God. And we're going to think about how he reveals himself to us, sometimes in unexpected ways and in unexpected places. So that's going to be the theme of our service today. And I also wanted to just remind people of a few things at this point in our service, especially if it's your first time back, or if you're joining us maybe for the first time here in the church. The first thing I need to say is that it's really important to ensure that your name and your phone number have been recorded as you take your seat today. That's really important to us for traceability purposes in the event of anybody becoming unwell. So thank you for helping us with that. And the other thing we need to remind people is that at the end of the service today, if you could just stay in your seat until a steward indicates that you can leave, and then you just head out the same door that you came in, make your way to either the front lawn or the car park for a chat at social distance, just so we don't clog up the entrance to the church. And again, we want to thank everybody for helping us with this so far really, really well. Thank you for your cooperation. A couple of other unusual things, if this is your first week back or your first week with us. We don't have a collection in the normal way, but there is a basket at the back for those who might wish to make an offering and don't give electronically. There is a basket at the back for free will offerings. And the last unusual thing, perhaps, for church at the present time is that we're not allowed to sing in our services, but we will hear the words of our hymns and they will appear on the screen. So we use them as an opportunity just to reflect on the words, and we listen to them from our seats. But we're not allowed to sing. You can hum along if you wish, but we're not allowed to sing. Also have a few announcements for the week that is to come. You might remember from the springtime, our student reader, Andy Hay. Andy made a great impression with us when he was with us for a placement for about 12 weeks. And Andy will be ordained deacon this afternoon in Down Cathedral. And again, service will take place with restricted numbers because of the current situation. It'll be live streamed if anybody wanted to watch it on the Down Cathedral website or the diocesan website. And we'll be remembering Andy and his colleague Anna, who will also be ordained this afternoon, in our prayers later this morning. This coming Wednesday at 8 o'clock, we're beginning our first online Alpha course via Zoom. And Alpha is a course that helps people to explore the basics of the Christian faith. It's going to take place from 8 to 9 o'clock. And if you want to take part, you just need to send your email address to either the website or the Facebook page where you'll find the information as to what you need to include in your email. And then you'll get a Zoom link each week if you wish to take part. And again, we hope that many will take that opportunity. Also this week, from Tuesday to Friday, the Bishop's Bible Week is taking place at 7:45 in St. Anne's Cathedral. If you wish to go along, it's normally a big diocesan event, you can book a ticket online through the Down Under More website. That event will also be live streamed, so if you can't go in person, you should be able to watch it on your computer. And this week, this year, the speaker is Peter Linus, who is the director of Evangelical Alliance in the UK, and he's speaking on St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, and he will be thinking really about the times that we're living in and the challenges to be people of faith in these times. I've heard Peter speak before. He's a very gifted speaker. And again, that opportunity is there. If you'd like to either attend in person, you can book a ticket, or if you want to watch online. Every Thursday at the moment at 7 o'clock, the parish has a prayer meeting over Zoom. And again, if you'd like to be part of that, you just send your email address and you will be sent the link to join that meeting. Our services next Sunday are the service of Holy Communion at 11 o'clock and 7 o'clock. So our opening hymn today is a hymn of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord as we enter his presence. We're thinking about his presence today, and as we enter his presence, our opening hymn, which we stay seated for, is Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. Our service this morning is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus. And in our reading, we will hear of how the Lord appears to Moses in a powerful way, and he reveals important things to him. We read from Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Here ends our Bible reading. And now we're going to stand together to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today, which is the 12th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, save through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And we're going to join together in our prayers, our collects for morning prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our second hymn this morning reminds us that as we approach the throne of God, we will always find mercy and grace. We hear the hymn, "Before the Throne of God Above."
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is written on his hands, my name is hidden in his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no power can force me to depart. Despair and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with my Lord, I cannot die. My soul is purchased by his blood. My life is safe with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Most of us, whether we are aware of it or not, are creatures of habit. And sometimes it might be through our circumstances, like work or school, we tend to get up at a similar time each day. And then there are certain activities that will take place at particular parts of our day and our week. And if the truth be told, a lot of these routines are pretty unexciting. And yet, if we neglect them, our life seems in some ways to disintegrate. And perhaps that is why we're finding the uncertainty of these times so challenging, where many of the activities that we were involved in are unable to resume because of the restrictions, or maybe because of the anxiety that people feel about gathering in numbers. And being honest, the preacher's life is no different. Before a sermon is ever preached, whether it is to 5 people or 500, there are biblical passages to read and to meditate on. There are commentaries to study. There are books to refer to and to read. And there are prayers to be said as you try to connect the living Word of God to the experience of your daily life and the lives of those that you're trying to speak to. And it is the more humdrum, ordinary moments of life that really make up the most of our time. And that's why I am really interested in the experience of Moses in our reading today. And to give you a little bit of background prior to this encounter with God, Moses had led an extraordinary life. There was a threat to Moses' life from his very birth because he was born as a Hebrew boy in Egypt. And at that time, the Pharaoh wanted to kill all the firstborn sons of the Israelites. And so when Moses was born, he was placed, if you remember that story, in a basket on the bulrushes. And then he was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter. And through extraordinary circumstances, Pharaoh's daughter employed Moses' natural mother to bring him up and to look after him. But effectually, Moses was brought up as a prince of Egypt. And in the life of privilege that he lived, where he was brought up as a prince, Moses learned some lessons about how power got you certain things. And then one day in adulthood, he killed an Egyptian that he saw mistreating a Hebrew. And then when he tried to settle a dispute the next day, those who he tried to intervene with had seen what he did, and once they knew that information, that Moses had actually murdered someone, Moses felt he needed to flee to Midian in the desert. And he got married there, and then he spent the next considerable period of his life as a shepherd. And we don't quite know how long Moses spent working as a shepherd in the desert, but we can be sure that that was quite a change from his previous privileged existence as a little prince of Egypt. And there would no doubt have been a lot of repetition and routine in Moses' daily work as a shepherd. And yet, it was in the desert that a work of transformation took place within Moses that would have huge implications for his future. One day, as we heard a few moments ago, when he was minding the sheep, God called him from a burning bush. And it's very often in the midst of very ordinary things that God actually speaks to our hearts, and he does extraordinary things. You might tune in to a Sunday service as you've done every Sunday for many, many years, and it can feel as if the whole of that particular service is directed specifically at you. Every hymn, every prayer, every conversation that you have on the way in or the way out, it's like a message that you never really expected to hear. And with Moses, it came in an extraordinary way, as there was this voice from a burning bush. Now, a burning bush was not such an unusual thing in a desert, but it was a very strange thing that it should burn and not be consumed. And so Moses goes over to investigate. And then he hears those amazing, spine-tingling words telling him not to come any closer, because the place where he is standing is holy ground, and he needs to take his sandals off. And Moses' response is to hide his face because he's afraid of the Lord. And I always think that it is extraordinary that God is to be found in the ordinary moments of life, when we least expect him, as we prepare a meal or we sit at a computer screen, as we visit an elderly relative or we bath a child, as we struggle to stay awake in our early morning prayers or we wheel out the bins. It's sometimes in those unremarkable things that God can reveal something of himself to us. And I love what he did reveal to Moses. The first thing that he made clear to Moses was that he was aware of all the suffering that the Israelites had endured in slavery. God knew all that was going on for the Israelites. And when things go wrong in our lives, we very often seem to demand that God would either remove the circumstances or the people causing our distress from us, or remove us from that situation. But you know, that is not the way out. God actually comes to us in our trouble. He comes to us in the fire, and he brings us salvation and help through the very circumstances that we thought should be removed. And I believe that that's a really important truth for us to hold on to in these times when it seems as if everything has been turned upside down for us. And there are question marks over so many of the things that we normally do. We can't even travel to visit family who live abroad, perhaps. Or we have to be so careful with all our contact with people. And there seem to be all these procedures and processes over everything as routine, from a visit to the supermarket, or going to church, or going to school, or going to work. And yet, when God speaks to Moses in this situation, he reveals a plan whereby everything is about to change for the Israelites. And he tells Moses that they're going to be led to a new land and a new future. And Moses is to be the one who is to go to Pharaoh and to let him know that he will be leading the people out. And of course, being uprooted from his desert life as a shepherd, that didn't appeal to Moses. For he resisted change and he resisted insecurity, as pretty well all of us do. Because Moses could foresee potential difficulties with the Israelites. He could see difficulties within himself for this mission that he was being asked to lead. And then God says very powerfully to him, "I will be with you. I will be with you." Now, he doesn't say to Moses that it's all going to be easy and it's going to be trouble-free as you march out of Egypt with the Israelites. Pharaoh is going to be delighted to see you go and it'll be very straightforward. But he says, "I will be with you, and that is all that you need." I wonder if, like me, you find change difficult. And maybe in the ordinary things of life, God has started to reveal to you some new thought or plan of something that he wants you to do for him. This sort of thing has been happening to me over a number of months, probably from before lockdown, when I've been trying to think about new ways to reach out with the Christian faith to those around me. And I've been trying to think of good ways to do this and praying about it, and suddenly God seems to be saying it's through writing or through technology and broadcasts. And to be honest, it's such a new way compared to how I was trained nearly 25 years ago. And everything within you wants to stay where you are. You feel that you don't have the resources, you don't have the wisdom, you don't have the stomach for the challenge. And God says, "I will be with you." He says, "I'll be with you in this." The hard part is not knowing how it'll all pan out. But there's something incredibly inspirational to me about the way that Moses was obedient to the call that he got from within that burning bush. And maybe you are in the same boat. As you sit here in church, or as you tune into this service at home, or as you listen on your telephone, you're in the same boat where there are new and difficult challenges on your horizon. And you're not quite sure how to approach them. But to me, what seems to be absolutely key is to approach it hand in hand with the Lord. It's vital to ask for his wisdom, for his courage, for his help as we go forward. And it's really important, as I've been learning in recent months, to have the humility to ask for help from others who know much more about these things than I do. And I'm so grateful to those who've been of such enormous help in all the things that we're endeavoring to do. And very often, the people who can help us are those who have been through some of these experiences themselves. And one of the things that's been very striking to me in recent months is when people themselves have experienced difficult things, maybe like illness or bereavement or other personal challenges, they're very often the most effective people in reaching out to others who are going through these things. And they can help and they can guide other people through these very, very difficult experiences. And our parish is full of people who are doing that really, really effectively and really, really well. But it's important, of course, fundamentally to pray. And so let us turn to God with hope and expectation as we come to Him today. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for how you reveal yourself to people even today. Thank you that you come to us even in unexpected ways. Help us to be open to see you and to hear you as you draw close to us. And today we want to pray for the Alpha course that's beginning next Wednesday over Zoom. And we pray for all from the church and from beyond who will take part. And we ask that you would become real and alive in the hearts of all who participate. We pray also this morning for Andy and Anna, who will be ordained deacon this afternoon in Down Cathedral. And we pray that you would use them both as instruments in their new parishes to reveal you to other people. We also pray for the Bishop's Bible Week this coming week in St. Anne's Cathedral, and for Peter Linus as he speaks, and we ask that his words would bring hope and encouragement and challenge as he thinks about the times that we're living in and how we are to live as people of faith. Help each one of us, just like Moses, to pay attention to what you want to say into our lives today and in the days to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray today for the nations of the world. And we pray especially this morning for the country of Bolivia that has had huge numbers affected by coronavirus. We pray for the overstretched health system in that land and for very poor communities affected by overcrowding and unemployment. And we pray for every effort that's being made to bring the virus under control. We ask for wisdom for the government and medical officers and those who are making important decisions affecting everyday life, offering guidance and recommendations. And we pray that all of these efforts would be guided by your wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we continue to pray today for all who live and work in nursing homes at a very challenging time. We pray for family members having to live with very restricted visits to protect people's safety. We pray also today for all teachers and principals and pupils returning to school or starting new schools and universities in these extraordinary times. We ask that your blessing protection and peace would be with them, and we ask that they would know your presence in challenging times. Lord, in your mercy. And we want to take a quiet moment now just to bring into the Lord's healing presence those who are particularly in our hearts as we come to church today. We might want to pray for those we know who are not well, or those who are going through challenging times at work, or those who have been made redundant or unemployed. We might want to think of those going through difficult situations in their personal life. But whoever it is, we bring them into the healing presence of God in the quietness, and we ask him to be at work for good in their situation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is really a prayer that we might see God even in the ordinary things of our everyday life. We hear the hymn, "Teach Me, My God and King."
Thank you.
And just a little reminder before our final blessing that if you could just stay in your seat until a steward indicates to you that you can leave and then make your way out either to the lawn or to the car park to have a chat with those around you at a social distance. We bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.